and do the best I can with it, as I also have a full-time job, running Rodeal and Nip and Fab, remember? I have to admit that I'm still not 100% convinced about Snapchat and whether it's a platform that's here to stay and can be a useful tool for the creative industries, or it's just a way for teens to exchange nude selfies. We shall see. Overnight success, secret number 10. How to build your personal brand through social media. 1. Pick one or two platforms to focus on and do them well. You can't realistically be on more than a couple, as you do actually have a day job. 2. With social media, you get back what you give. So try to spend 50 minutes every day responding to comments, liking, and communicating with your audience. 3. Define the subject you want to focus on and stick to it. If you're doing high fashion, stick to high fashion. If you're in the food business, post food pictures. You're developing an audience that is looking for information, inspiration, ideas. Stick to who you are and what you represent. Your audience doesn't like surprises. 4. Decide whether to have just one account for your brand or one for your brand and one for yourself. If you have the time and the resources, I advise having both. 5. Think of your social media from your audience's point of view. Social media is not a catalogue to constantly promote your products. Give something for free, motivate, inspire, give free advice, and occasionally promote your products. 6. As a business and a brand, quality photography is key. Whether you take your own pictures or hire a photographer to batch shoot, keep the style consistent. 7. Post a few times a day, but don't spam your followers with tons of posts every day. I find that 2 to 4 posts per day on Instagram are the ideal number. 8. Time your posts at peak times and at times that work for you. I like to post first thing in the morning, as a lot of people check their Instagram before they go to work or during their commute. I may post during lunchtime, as this is another peak time, and 6 till 8pm after work. 9. Hashtags help get your name out there and get more people to discover you. Use appropriate industry and brand hashtags and don't overdo it. A handful of hashtags are enough without looking like a spammer. 10. Enjoy the process. Social media is called social media for a reason. Be social, be creative, and enjoy. I believe the business owner should handle or at least give the direction of how you want your brand portrayed. Once you've found your way, you can always get your team to support, but always keep an eye on the account so it's on brand. How to take good Instagram photos. 1. Use your phone to take the picture first. Don't go via the Instagram app. You can always edit and filter the image afterwards. Your phone camera will have higher spec and will provide an overall better quality image for you to edit at a later date. 2. Find inspiration. Browse popular pages on Instagram to see what others are posting. Follow people on Pinterest and Tumblr to find pictures to inspire you. Screenshot them so that you can look back and recreate them. You can look at trending hashtags and see what beautiful images are being shared. 3. Take photos of things that inspire you and things that showcase your personality or are of interest to you, so your pictures are a representation of you as a person. 4. Good lighting. Lighting makes a huge difference to pictures. Natural lighting is the best. If you don't have natural light, play around with your filters and saturation to try and replicate this. 5. Changing up the location of your photos is a great way to keep your followers engaged and interested. Even something as simple as outdoor backgrounds can work well to help set the scene of your photo. 6. Try to keep a theme so that all pictures look great together. This is really popular at the moment. Either use the same filter for every picture or have the same color scheme to make sure your page looks visually consistent. 7. If you like to share selfies on your Instagram account, but are not quite sure on the best poses to use, there are guides on Pinterest to show what angles will work best for you. In general, Taking a selfie from slightly above is flattering. You can also try looking anywhere but directly in the camera for the effortless selfie look. Looking over the shoulder shots always work well. 8. Keep the image simple. Offer the viewer one clear focal point. Don't clutter it with too much going on. Sometimes simpler is better. 9. Use filters and apps to help enhance your images. The ones that you see on your favorite Instagrammers' feeds are rarely the original. Great apps include VSCO Cam, which is really popular and is free of charge to download, Facetune, which is great for editing selfies to remove any imperfections, Whitegram is for a white background, great for those all-white, minimalist, clean shots. 10. Flat lays are on trend at the moment. Take pictures from above. But don't just automatically put the subject in the middle, which can create a listless image with no sense of energy or direction. Sometimes going slightly off-center creates a better-looking image, unless the scene is 100% symmetrical. Chapter 11. Time for a designer collaboration. All my life, I have been passionate not just about beauty. Fashion and design have played a big part in my life too. Beauty and fashion are very much connected. Makeup and fashion trends lead each other in new directions every season. I get very excited by new trends on the catwalk, and I absorb influences from what can be the subtlest elements of design. So my love of fashion ensures that our makeup range is very much part of the fashion world. Our makeup palette tunes into the color trends on the catwalk and vice versa. The first time I brought fashion into the brand was a collaboration with Mary Katransu. I had admired Mary's work for years and owned a few pieces from her collections. Mary is really talented, a graduate of Central St. Martin's College, and created a fashion sensation with her original prints featuring anything from oversized pencils to Greek monuments in striking color combinations. Mary was on her way up, with all the top editors attending her shows and celebrities wearing her dresses. Anna Wintour was making a point of coming to London Fashion Week to see her shows. And you know, when Anna Wintour is attending a show, the designer really matters. Cara Delevingne, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Jennifer Lawrence were wearing her dresses. This girl was hot. I asked my PA to connect with her, say that I'm a big fan, and tell her that I would love to set up a meeting. We agreed to meet at the Colbert Cafe in Sloane Square, as it was close to Mary's home and our offices. Mary likes to meet later in the morning as she works until the early hours and then wakes up slightly later, very different to me. But we bonded over scrambled eggs and cappuccinos and talked about fashion and beauty for hours. It's always a great sign when you hit it off with someone in business. Who doesn't want to work with talented people that you also like? The discussion led to the shared desire to design something together one day. I gave her some Rodeo products to try, and she asked me to go to her studio where she would design something for me. Since then, she's been inviting me to her shows with front row tickets, and we get to connect even more. I wore one of her dresses at our Rodeo Beautiful Awards, and she joined our awards committee. During one of our coffee meetings, she told me she was looking for a sponsor for a unique show with flowers flown over from Amsterdam. She would have live music on stage, and the whole show would be the most extravagant ever to go with her designs. The idea sounded very interesting. We had never sponsored a designer before. There was no excess cash for that. But at that point, we had started doing really well. I could see that it would be a great way to raise the brand awareness with the fashion press. There would be a lot of international press as well as store buyers, and being part of the show would give us exposure not only in the US but internationally as well. Our marketing teams worked together for a few months to ensure that Rodeo was included in all the marketing and press material, and we did the goodie bags filled with Rodeo products for the front rows. It was exciting to be part of this amazing show, sitting in the front row and looking at the gorgeous models running through a corridor of flowers, almost dancing to the music and wearing the most amazing outfits. I loved every single one of them, but the final one took my breath away. Designers always leave the masterpiece until the end, and Mary certainly did that in my opinion. For the final look, the model wore a beautiful beaded strapless dress with bright purple colours. It must have weighed more than I do, but it was definitely a must-have piece. I made a mental note to request it for my next big event. Sadly, I didn't get it. In the world of fashion, news travels fast and someone else's PR had first dibs. It went from the red carpet of the Golden Globes onto the Oscars and never made it back to London. Sob. Despite my disappointment over the dress, the sponsorship was a great investment for my business. We got a lot of press from fashion journalists who came across our products and talked about them on their social media or featured them as London Fashion Week must-haves. We even got press in Hong Kong, Russia and Germany. People who didn't know about the brand were suddenly paying attention to Rodial, referring to our presence at the Mary Catranzu show. You never know with these things if you will get anything out of it, so I was very happy and relieved when we got a return on our investment. Mary was also happy with the sponsorship. There is nothing better than finding a brand you actually like to complement yours, one whose products fit, which creates a synergy between the brands. At times, designers need to accept less than complimentary sponsors just to cover their expenses. And the brands are not always luxury or high-end, or even from a relevant industry. Next time we met, again at the Colbert, it has become our regular haunt, we were both so happy with our first experience working together that we were ready to do something more. A skincare product wouldn't make sense. It would need to be more of a lifestyle product. At the time, I was designing a limited edition candle for the holidays, and my team had put together some ideas for the encasement that I wasn't happy with. Bingo! What if Mary could design the candle and also work with me on the fragrance? Mary loved the idea, and we started working immediately. Straight away, she began sending me ideas for the printed glass, and I started sending her fragrance options. Within 3 months, we had the fragrance and design secured. A beautiful candle that featured printed crystals of pink and lavender that looked three-dimensional. The candle launched in autumn 2011 with all our retailers, from Harvey Nichols to Harrods and Space NK, and in all our 35 countries. Everyone wanted a piece of the Rodial Mary Catranzu collaboration. In some department stores, they would put the candle in the fashion departments too, next to Mary's collection. We garnered huge social media coverage as the candle photographed so well. Our customers were becoming very creative with the uses of it, and after burning it, they would use the printed casing as a makeup brush glass, or to store pencils or hairbands. It was a beautiful thing, and I loved seeing it as a part of people's lives. Our collaboration also became a PR success. Mary and I hosted a tea party at the penthouse of the Soho Hotel, and all magazines attended and covered, from Vogue to InStyle to Grazia. We also got the international press interested, and the candle was covered by the likes of Elle, Allure and Bazaar in the US and Germany. The collaboration took a lot of work. It was a steep learning curve for me and my team, but it was a massive success, and I knew I would do more of these in the future. When we launched our new makeup in the autumn of 2014, fronted by Daisy Lowe, I wanted a designer item as part of the collection. I'm always looking outside beauty and into fashion and art for inspiration, and I wanted to keep up with the direction of collaborating with a designer. I met with my team and explained the situation, and we brainstormed over pizza and wine. And the idea just popped up. Instead of going to an established designer, why don't we go to the source of talent and get an up-and-coming designer from a design college? The ultimate college for design talent is London's Central St Martin's College, from where some of the most successful designers have graduated. I knew about it over the years from books and articles featuring its superstar graduates, including Alexander McQueen, John Galliano, and Stella McCartney. What if I got to brief the students to create an object for us? I could show them how to design with a brand in mind and brief them about the target market, the practical considerations and the commercial aspects of a project, and then manufacture this object and sell it in our stores. What an amazing experience and opportunity this would be for a student. As we had decided not to do another awards show, this could be something new, something equally good for the brand, but also something where we could give something back. And so the Rodial Art and Design Challenge was born. An initiative that is true to my heart and all about investing in education and young talent. My team connected with the Central St. Martins people and they were very keen. A month later, in January 2015, I was at the college briefing the second year BA students on a competition to develop a design for a Rodial makeup brush case. The students were from all over the world. I think I counted 15 different nationalities among the 25 students. I felt great meeting those students as I love to nurture new talent. At work, I'm surrounded by a young, dynamic team, and I am interviewing constantly to ensure I keep this energy coming into the business. Young, new talent is important for innovation, breaking the rules, and revolutionizing our industry. I would treat the students as part of my team, and I would work with them every step of the way. I took them through our entire development process, showing them how a project went from a concept through design and production to being on the shop floor and in the handbags of Rodial customers around the world. I remember the excitement I felt at seeing my initial product for the first time and getting my first magazine features. It was infectious. The more exposure I got, the more I wanted. It was the greatest buzz to see something you've created selling out at Harrods or being tweeted about by Ellie Goulding. And I wanted this to be an incentive for the students too. I met the students three more times, listening to everyone's presentations, giving feedback, and seeing them really progress and improve their designs. The process of deciding on the winner wasn't easy. I decided to offer something more to the students and bring a few more expert judges on board from different areas and get them to give their point of view. The first person I thought of was my friend Henry Holland, the fashion designer. Henry gained attention with his bold 1980s-inspired T-shirts that displayed catchphrases such as "I tell you who's boss," Kate Moss, in the 2000s, and he founded his own fashion house, House of Holland. He has also become an established TV personality, co-hosting shows alongside Alexa Chung and working as a judge on a number of TV shows. I met Henry years ago and really loved his aesthetic. He had created a variety of different accessories from phone cases to nails, and he had an eye for combining fashion and trends with an everyday item. His advice would be invaluable. My next judge was supermodel Erin O'Connor. Erin has been on multiple covers of fashion magazines, including Italian Vogue, and has regularly appeared on catwalk shows in Milan and Paris, modeling for top houses such as Chanel, Gucci, and Fendi. She also modeled in print ads for top designers like John Galliano, Christian Dior, Jean-Paul Gaultier, Donna Karan, Prada, Versace, Miu Miu and others. She has appeared on several high-profile television shows over the years, and she would be my perfect partner in crime on this project. Daniela Rinaldi joined me from Harvey Nichols. I had known Daniela for years as she was always a supporter of the brand, and her involvement would ensure that the product will be commercially viable. I wanted to get her excited and get the product into Harvey Nichols with a lot of buzz and, of course, her stamp of approval. I also invited Jackie Annesley, editor of style for the Sunday Times, to join us and provide a press point of view. We needed to ensure that the design we picked would appeal to the press, and the style section of the Sunday Times is a trend-setting publication, always first to report new trends and take risks. I invited our entire panel to join me at Central St. Martins to meet the five finalists. First arrived Erin, looking very cool and natural in white leather jacket and jeans. She had all the student presentations sent to her the previous week, and she came in very much prepared with notes and questions to ask. Erin is a very warm person and took her role as judge of this challenge very seriously. Henry arrived next, very upbeat as always and ready to start. He's always frank and sharp with his comments, and I couldn't wait to see what he had to say. Daniela is very warm and friendly. and I knew she would be very supportive of the students and their designs. Finally, Jackie arrived. I had heard that she's very good at expressing her opinions, and I was looking forward to her very different point of view. So myself and my four fellow judges sat behind a large table next to each other, ready to meet the students. Every single one of the finalists presented us with their research, inspiration, prototype, and a short film they'd prepared to share their journey of designing the Rhodial makeup brush case. All five designs were so different. Some were very design-led while not being that practical, and others were more practical with a simpler design. I'd seen the cases before, but the judges were viewing them for the first time and started testing them. One of the cases looked like a Celine evening bag with open sides, but when Erin put the brushes inside, closed it and moved it from side to side, the brushes fell out. Another was so heavy that Jackie feared for the customer's foot if, God forbid, they dropped it in the bathroom. Another one was too plain and Henry thought it would be better suited as a free gift with a purchase. I was getting really worried that we wouldn't be able to pick a winner. Slowly, all the judges started leaning towards a black case which had lots of zips that you could use to hold individual brushes. It seemed modern and unique, and the zips made it look fresh. Interestingly, this was the case that had always stood out to me. The designer behind this case was a Hong Kong student called Aaron Chung. At our first session, he had presented a hard wooden case, which wasn't on brand or on brief at all, and I asked him to change the design. He spoke to his course leader and almost quit. His tutor convinced him to stay, and so he changed the design based on my feedback. Here he was now, having made it through 6 months of work and selection processes to be in the top five and very close to winning. I thanked the students and took some pictures with them and the panel. When the students left, I deliberated with my fellow judges. Everyone loved Aaron's case. We had a clear winner. I didn't want to announce it there and then in front of all the students. I decided to ask their course leader to tell them in private about the results, rather than having to face the disappointment of four students live. They were all winners in my mind, and they'd all improved their presentation skills and all evolved as designers. I enjoyed working with them, and I hope they enjoyed the project too. To announce the winner formally, the panel and I hosted a VIP dinner at the Balthazar restaurant in Covent Garden. I picked a private space in the restaurant as I wanted to create a very intimate atmosphere with the judges, all our friends and the five finalists. It was all about the students, and it was important to get them involved, introduce them to our guests, and keep it informal. To wrap up the project, I commissioned a photo shoot of Erin and me with the Rhodial makeup brushes from renowned photographer Greg Williams. Over the years, I had heard of Greg's work and always wanted to work with him. He had done shoots for Victoria Beckham, Sienna Miller, Brad Pitt, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley and Robert Downey Jr. I wanted to do a fun shoot with the brushes that would go into the makeup case. Greg directed us to perfection and the pictures looked amazing. We ended up not only with some beautiful pictures, but also a lot of content for YouTube and social media. This project with the students was very close to my heart and one of the happiest moments of my career. Since then, I've been trying to allocate some time every year to mentor students and up-and-coming entrepreneurs. This also led me to an opportunity to be a guest mentor on a US TV show, Project Runway Fashion Startup, where I mentored a young jewelry entrepreneur who would be pitching her business to secure financing from four investors, including designer Rebecca Minkoff. Tommy Hilfiger was also a key mentor on the show, and it was such an honor for me to be included. Mentoring on camera was a brand new experience for me. But hey, I'm all about taking risks. So I was happy to have ticked that box. Overnight success secret number 11. Collaborations 101. One of the best and least expensive ways to grow your audience is by collaborating with other brands. Look out for opportunities to collaborate with other like-minded brands in complementary industries to yours. With no money being exchanged, you can offer them access to your audience and they will give you access to theirs. These are my top 10 tips for a collaboration. 1. Identify brands that are at a similar level to yours. For example, if you're just starting out, find brands that are just starting out as well. You need to be realistic and ask yourself, what can I offer this brand and what can I get in return? If you have very little to give and a lot to gain, then you won't be taken seriously. By contrast, if you find a brand with a similar size audience or social media following, then you both should gain from the partnership. 2. Go for a brand that is excited about what you do, your products or services, and will be very enthusiastic about this collaboration. Successful collaborations need the commitment and enthusiasm of all parties. 3. Don't doubt yourself. We all have something to offer. If you find it hard to articulate your strengths and what you can offer to another brand, ask a friend to help you. Sometimes we're hard on ourselves, and we need someone else to tell us what we're good at. 4. Do your research. There's so much information on social media and online that you can narrow down the brands that you're interested in. 5. Collaborations can take different forms, from a digital campaign to a co-branded product. When you're just starting out, try a digital or a social media collaboration with another brand to test the waters. You can find out if the fit is good and if their audience is relevant to your brand. Once you test the waters and you see that a partnership would work, you can move to the next level of a co-branded product. 6. Define clearly the parameters of a partnership. Don't always assume that the other party will have the same ideas in mind. Clearly define the scope, deliverables, and what each party is responsible for, and agree in writing before taking the first step. 7. Be creative with the industries you look at. For me, beauty and fashion are always an easy match, but you can look at a less obvious connection to a brand with a similar audience to yours. Just do your research. 8. When the partnership goes ahead, make sure you shout about it and you promote it on all your platforms. Of course, this needs to be reciprocated by the other brand. Social media accounts, newsletters, homepage on the website, blog. And don't do a one-off job. You need to be creating anticipation and stretching the news over a period of time. 9. If a collaboration goes well, think of how you can take it to the next level. If something works, improve and repeat. 10. Focus on a handful of brands and go deeper. Doing too many collaborations and jumping from one collaboration to another can be dangerous. While you may gain a new audience, you don't want to alienate your existing one. Chapter 12. Build your personal brand. You would have heard the word tossed around in magazines, in interviews, on TV, and in these pages, in fact. It is difficult to avoid. And I'm sure you know what it means, or at least you think you do. That's the thing about the word brand. It is a little bit slippery. It can mean many things and one thing. Sorry, now I'm being slippery. The point is, you need to know what it means for your business and for you. And what is the process of creating a brand? All brands go through a process of development until they become super brands. One famous example is Coca-Cola. In the early days, Coke was just one of the many sodas on the shelf. But the company decided to try and stand out from the other bottles. They went on to dominate the market, so much so that even now you find yourself asking for a Coke, when what you really mean is a cola. Why did they dominate? It can't just be the shape of the bottle, can it? Well, no. They and many others like them expanded the word brand into something much bigger, much broader. It was a feeling. It was an emotion. It was a world, and a world you wanted to be a part of. In a market of similar products, all with similar price points competing for business, the battle was on for consumer loyalty and share. How do we get them to buy ours instead of theirs? Simply shouting your name loudest or advertising generic features didn't work. What they needed was a bit of extra edge. The most successful brands are aspirational. We're after a Chanel bag or a Saint Laurent leather jacket or a pair of Louboutin boots. because we want a piece of the lifestyle that the brand can bestow upon us. A little reflected sunlight. We want to be in that gang. Be one of the sort of people who know the difference, who are connected enough to know where to get those exclusive heels, who can appreciate the quality of that bag. We can't help it. We are all a little bit tribal. There are similar bags, leather jackets and stilettos, but the reason we desire more products from these brands is because we don't buy a product. We buy a lifestyle. Lifestyle suggests a choice. You're not stuck with the life your parents had or the life that you have now. You can literally style your life. It goes against the old Freudian theory that you are somehow programmed in your first 5 years and instead suggests that you're the sum of your passions, knowledge, eccentricities and experiences. You can change who you are. You can reinvent yourself. You can create your own image. As much as it is important to define the brand that is your business, it's equally or even more important to develop your own personal brand. Why? You can give the brand personality and get your audience to relate with you on a personal level, which makes it easier to buy your product or service or whatever you are out there to promote. Getting eyeballs on your brand isn't enough. People want to feel they're sharing the experience with you. Your aspirations might be to become a successful entrepreneur and build a successful business, not to become a celebrity. Being an entrepreneur must surely be a waste of time for the vain, the ones who get into a business in order to boost their profile. Well, not quite. The reality is that as a brand owner, you represent your brand and if you want your brand to be recognized, you need to build your personal brand too. Your company and your personal brand go hand in hand. Of course, there are examples of people who have successful businesses and have remained anonymous and no one knows their name. But with the culture that we live in these days, it becomes more and more difficult to have a successful business if you're hidden in anonymity. And we're not talking about pop star famous. You just need to become an expert in your field, to be recognized, to be quoted and to be respected. It used to be that the only people who had a personal brand were celebrities. Now with social media, anyone can build and amplify their brand image and become a celebrity in their own field. Social media has changed the way a brand or a personality is built by providing a platform where you can shape the world's perception of you. Social media has revolutionized the way brands and people communicate with their audiences and amplify messages. So it is even more important to carefully build the brand that is you. When you're an entrepreneur, you are your brand. What is a brand? A brand is your identity and how people perceive you. Creating your own brand is an art. Your personal branding aligns what you want people to think about you with what they actually think about you. So how do you start shaping your own personal brand? What is your story? What are you good at? What are your marketable qualities? Write all this down. Then think of how you want people to perceive you. What do you want them to think after they've met you? Does your current situation match what you want to be known for? If not, then you need to put together a plan of action to develop your personal brand and to get it to where you want it to be. So, brands are not just consumer products or corporations anymore. They are you and me. Look at the Kardashian brand. The Kardashian brand has been developing over the last 10 years consistently with a plan and a lot of decision-making along the way. Love or hate them, the Kardashians have developed a very strong personal brand. This brand took a while to build. When they first started with season one of their reality TV show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, very few people knew about the family. They were an average American family that were trying to make a name for themselves. Fast forward 10 years, and the Kardashian brand is very well defined, starting with the way they look, sleek hair and makeup, body-conscious clothing, showcasing their assets. They are icons to girls, women, and yes, men all over the world. They are the antithesis of the skinny models, as they are women with curves, who feel equally at ease in a bejeweled Balmain gown and a pair of Topshop ripped jeans. Kim's brand evolved over the years and became more sophisticated, from doing shoots with B-list magazines to making it to the cover of the US Vogue and Bazaar, and rubbing shoulders with the most iconic people in fashion, such as Karl Lagerfeld, Karine Rotfeld, and Anna Wintour. To understand the Kardashians' journey, all you need to do is watch the first episode of season one of the series, and you'll understand the progress. It is a fascinating story of how the world of media, both social and old school, works today, and how it's rapidly evolving. If the Kardashians had come out 10 years earlier, things might have been very different. But they hit a moment when TV shows could be fed by the recently emerging social media and the explosion of gossip magazines. This cross-pollination was something new. In fact, the viewing figures for the TV show had been steadily falling. But it doesn't matter. They have a much more consistent and instant platform for their brand through online and social media engagement. Maintaining the Kim Kardashian brand is not easy. First of all, it takes a lot of maintenance. Kim won't ever leave the house without hair, makeup, and styling. When you are such a well-defined brand, you can't be seen going to the grocery store wearing old sweats and sneakers. Although if she did, and nothing is off limits in the crazy world of the Kardashians, the sweats would be designer with brand new sneakers, full hair and makeup, and oversized sunglasses. It probably takes 3 hours to create that casual look. You get the point. When she travels for fashion weeks or other events, there's always a glam team around. Whether they travel together, which is usually the case, or she engages local teams, many celebs will have a team of trusted freelancers in Europe, a New York team, an LA team, a Paris team, and so on, depending on where they are in the world. Outfits are planned for every step of the trip, from the airport outfits to the day after outfits to the big events and appearances. Outfits take a team of stylists, a week of work plus endless alterations to ensure the fit is perfect. The clothes are also very well defined. Always body conscious, a little transparency and cleavage here and there. The Kardashians are not following fashion trends, but are aware of them, and they are incorporated in their own style. And this makes them relatable to their audience. And then there is the beauty grooming. Endless spray tans, workout sessions, beauty treatments, and cosmetic enhancements. You can never relax. Perfection takes time, and it's ongoing. Kim makes it all look effortless, though. Hair and makeup sessions at 4 a.m. to get ready for filming. Tick. Back-to-back spray tans at midnight to be ready for the next day's shoot. Tick. Regular sessions at the dermatologist. Tick. It takes effort, commitment, and investment to look like Kim Kardashian. And that is the brand she is selling. None of this is new territory for celebrities. This is the same regime Hollywood stars have been following for years. Studios such as MGM had celebrity fixers who would not only ensure the stars wore the right gown and had the latest hairdo, they would fix them up with other stars to maximize their appeal or promote a new movie. The publicity machine was rigorously controlled. Stories would be invented. Stories would be suppressed. The important thing was that the studio image and the star's brand were getting the right sort of exposure. Then the movie business changed. Actors were no longer the property of the studios, and they could do what they liked, and often did. They were seen falling out of limos. They were caught in compromising positions with underworld spies, or the wife of a close friend, and yes, they were packed in old sweats going to the grocery store, and the illusion was shattered. Sunset Boulevard suddenly looked like a real-life documentary. The man behind the curtain was exposed. The end of an era, they cried. But for all the nostalgic tears and the "they don't make them like they used to" complaints about the new style of film star, things were not all bad. Suddenly the stars were real and approachable. They lived in the same world as we did. The dreams we had of one day bumping into them were no longer dreams. They could conceivably come true. These rare creatures didn't cease to exist when not on the silver screen. They were here, among us, apparently doing grocery shopping. Some kept their private lives private and managed themselves as though they were in a mini studio system. They controlled the times they would allow pictures and punch photographers the rest of the time. Others embraced the role of celebrity and made every moment of their lives an opportunity to be seen and loved by the fans, known in showbiz as being always on. The Kardashians and their ilk have taken this always on ideal and reinvented it for the modern age, and it is a million times more intense than it ever was. Movie, magazines, and gossip columns came out weekly. The Kardashians are being discussed and seen seemingly every minute of the day. But that's not the only way to make yourself into a brand. There is another kind of modern brand phenomenon where the person has traveled a different path. One person has achieved such a transformation and created such a strong brand for themselves that they can sell anything under that brand. That person is Victoria Beckham. Going from a Spice Girl to an internationally recognized style icon and fashion designer launching her own range in 2008, that's no easy feat, and it didn't happen overnight. Before launching her own range, she had been collaborating with other brands and fashion designers, getting her name out there with the right associations to establish herself as a player in the fashion world. She changed her style, moving from tight, short and colorful dresses and platform heels to the work of more sophisticated and fashion-forward designers, changing hair and makeup looks to reflect the new style. Every one of her appearances is carefully planned, whether arriving at an airport, leaving a hotel to go to a meeting, or on a family outing. Her hair and makeup are always flawless. The oversized black sunglasses are always there, and she has a well-planned look, usually from her upcoming collection. And it is not just about having money to invest in this. It takes a lot of discipline and determination to keep up the image of your brand 24/7. Another example of someone in control of her brand is Gigi Hadid. Gigi has evolved from being just a model to becoming a personality. There are thousands of models out there, but Gigi is an example of a model who stands out from all the rest. She is pretty, but there are equally pretty models out there. She is 22 and has a natural beauty. She could behave as any other normal 22-year-old and throw on an old pair of jeans and a t-shirt when she's not on a photo shoot or the catwalk, but all her looks are carefully planned and managed. When she's doing the shows in New York or Paris, she has a whole set of outfits planned for her. Arrival at the airport, leaving the hotel, going to the show, at the after party. Each is an opportunity for maximum online exposure, and each involves a carefully styled version of herself. She's not leaving hair and makeup to chance either. Unlike a lot of models, she works with specific hair and makeup artists for her non-show looks, so that she can keep her look and brand consistent. She regularly works with Kardashian stylist Monica Rose to ensure she always looks on trend, and in fact, often she will create the trends. A lot of this has to do with her innate style, of course. Yes, she works with stylists, but contrary to popular belief, most good stylists don't work with clients who have no idea. They work with people who already have a strong look, and they're there to do the legwork. They act as an advisor. They look at the brand of the client and work to that brief, putting the looks together and even packing up looks to send on to the next destination and the next photo call. Gigi is a smart girl and knows that to be a fashion icon, you need to work on it and be very disciplined. And she does an amazing job at it. She has developed her own personal identity on and off duty. We all love seeing her in gowns and designer clothes at the shows, but what she is most known for are her off-duty looks, ripped or leather jeans, crop tops and long coats. Together with Zayn Malik, she has become a style icon and is always one step ahead of a lot of other more forgettable models. She's the one everyone is looking out for. She is top of the online model searches to see what her latest after-show outfit is, what she wears when working out or heading out on the town. She's become such a personality brand but she's now not only getting endorsement deals as a model, but also collaboration opportunities, such as her latest collaboration with Tommy Hilfiger, where she helped design the Tommy X Gigi range for their more affordable Tommy brand. She not only designed the range, but also modeled for it and hosted the party. This is the power of a person who, as a brand, stands out from the competition and has elevated herself to the next level of recognition and celebrity. This is why the brands Kardashian, Beckham and Gigi, even though they're extremely different to each other, have a lot in common. Carefully planned images, consistency and keeping it up for years. Evolution plays a big part in any brand as well. You can't keep on doing the same things. You need to evolve and offer your audience something new and interesting while keeping up the principles of your brand. Yeah, you might say, but I'm not a supermodel. I haven't got a mad family and I wasn't around for girl power. What does this mean to me? And what can I learn from these stories? How can I implement these examples to develop my own brand? Well, first of all, I agree that you're probably not a supermodel, curvaceous reality star or pouty design phenomenon. You are you, and you are the only you out there. You are utterly unique. Your style, your personality, your insight are 100% original. No matter what your brand actually is and does, be it selling beauty products, fashion tips, or piston engines, it starts with you. You are the face of the brand. And if you're starting out small, that's often all you have. So use it. When you look at a celeb Instagram feed, at first glance, it looks nothing more than pics of the celebrity in various locations, reposted pap shots, one or two plates of food, random body parts, and the odd mirror selfie. But look closer, and you'll see that the hashtags to these shots are often naming or recommending a product. Here I am trying hashtag brand name makeup, or great night at the hashtag brand name club, and so on. You're following the story of their day-to-day life, but you're also being sold something. And you don't mind, because it feels good to be part of the community. Sharing feels good. Well, you can be the celebrity of your own brand. You can use the same techniques. Here are some ways to get the most out of your online brand. Tell your story. I'm going to assume you know what your brand, product, thing is. Now you have to get it out there. Before you stumble online blurting out whatever comes into your head, think about your vision for the brand. Just as Gigi plans her look, you need to plan your online assault. Think of it as telling the story of your brand. Stories are the most basic form of communication. No matter how sophisticated we get, humans will always need stories. So tell us yours. If your brand is just starting out, then involve us in the development. Kickstarter does this really well, encouraging each of the Kickstarters to send their backers regular updates on progress up to and beyond the funding deadline. It fosters a real sense of community among the backers and crucially between the customer and the producer. You could start with how you got here. What made you want to start this brand? What sent you down this road? We are with you for the launch. We're with you when the print company spells your name wrong. And we're with you wherever the story goes. You could even go so far as to plot a little movie-style storyboard for your online campaign if it helps you focus on a direction. Having said all that, you should also remember that this story is going out live. It's an ongoing, organic story and anything can and probably will happen. So be flexible and, where appropriate, take your followers with you. I say, if appropriate, because there are things you may not wish to share. It's probably not a good idea to moan about money troubles or problems with the actual product. Try and keep things positive. Even though it may be true, we don't want to hear that you're starting this just because you got fired and had to do something to live. We want to hear that suddenly being free from your old job gave you the opportunity you've been waiting for to follow your dream. Same story, different tone. Finally, practice telling your story. Have a couple of good versions of it ready for pitches, for interviews, and to include in your posts. You may have heard of the elevator pitch. It's a movie term for the 30 seconds you get, not necessarily in an elevator, to pitch your idea to the movie producer you've managed to corner. It's like Die Hard meets Bambi set in outer space, that kind of thing. Have an elevator pitch for your brand ready to go. It should excite, intrigue, and without telling the whole story, give enough info about what the brand is to make me excited to hear more. You talking to me? I have spoken about being yourself, but you need to be yourself in company. By that, I mean remember who you're talking to. Do you have an audience in mind? The pitch you might do for a teen audience would, I hope, be quite different to the one you'd give to West Hendon Ladies Conservative Club. They'd both come from you, but one might be you with your telephone voice on. Think about which works best. Ideally, you can just be wonderfully you and all the world will love you, but it's worth thinking about. Know who you're selling to or targeting. This is going to help you build your community and your fan base. Look at the other stuff your target group might be into. Who else do they follow? What else do they buy? What blogs are out there? Immerse yourself in the world you want to be a part of. And remember, you don't just want one kind of flower. Your community needs to include influencers, peers, friends, superfans, and casual passers-by. They will all help you to build your brand and your personality. Collaborate and propagate. Okay, we've spoken about identifying your audience, but how can you get maximum exposure for your brand? Well, in your research, you will have found things your target group is into, the things they like and the people they follow. It's time to reach out. Talk directly to some of the contacts you've made. It may be that someone is making a complimentary product you can work with, even if it's just agreeing to name check or recommend each other. If the product is right, you could go further. If you're selling skate decks, get one signed by a famous skater and run a comp to win it. Better still, ask them to design a deck that you will produce. It's exactly the same principle behind my collaborations with Central St. Martins and Mary Katransu. The brands complemented each other without directly competing. However you do it, and I'm sure you know best what would work for your brand, is up to you. But the more you can get your name and your product out there, the better. And if it's for free, that's a double bonus. Another way to get your brand talked about is by offering to write a piece for a small blog relevant to your sector. They're generally happy for content, and as long as your brand fits in with their normal editorial content, then they'll generally be glad to have someone fill some column inches. Mention your brand, but don't overdo it. It may be that your topic is the problem your particular brand can solve. You could embed a video. Do what you like, but make it relevant to the readers. If all you get is a few extra followers from the blog, then that's all good. You've not lost anything. However, what you're hoping for is for it to go viral. If your story is compelling enough and your idea original enough, it may just get reposted on bigger blogs, on news sites, or even picked up by TV news. Free press. The internet has a voracious appetite. How do you think the bloggers and writers find their material? They need to put something out every day, so they're constantly scanning the internet for stuff to write about. And if you've targeted your product in the right way and got your story straight, you could go from a handful to hundreds of thousands of followers in less than a day. And it costs you nothing. You could soon be having that interview on the BBC Breakfast Sofa. And when you do, remember your elevator pitch. Hello, it's me again. Keep your story fresh. While I've stated that you shouldn't come across as a stalker, it can't hurt to reintroduce yourself from time to time. If you're already known in the industry in which you've decided to strike out, then you may need to start by telling people who you are now. They may remember you as the girl who did graphic design PR at Company X. You need to reintroduce yourself to these existing contacts in your new persona. Beyond the contacts who already know you and need re-educating, there are those who are meeting you for the first time. Not everyone will love what you have to offer at first sight, so every now and again relaunch yourself to the world. You could base this around a new version of your product or an offshoot. When we launched Nip and Fab, it benefited Rodial as it reminded people that we were out there and brought more traffic to all of our platforms. Fashion models are constantly updating their book with new pictures, new Z cards and Polaroids, always putting the latest shots up front. So you should be refreshing the way people see your brand. If they see the same old pic every time they scroll onto your Facebook page, no matter how great it might be, they will soon turn off. Take another great shot and use that. To support the "you are your brand" idea, regardless of what your brand name or online handle might be, it's also a good idea to have an Instagram account or website in your name. You should already have bought up as many variations of your brand name as you can on all relevant platforms. And if you include a website in your own name, it's another way people can find you, and another way to keep your profile in the rankings. As well as the brand identities Rodial and Nip and Fab, and posting as Mrs. Rodial, I also maintain a site at www.mariahatzisstefanis.com, which links to all the other identities. Overnight success secret number 12. How to develop your own brand. So how do you go from being a founder of a business to becoming a brand? Find some role models around you. People who have set up similar businesses to yours. People you admire. Study their personal brand. What is so special about them? What makes them stand out? Keep a biography with your biggest achievements and a selection of good quality portrait pictures you can use for press and online articles about yourself. Update this at least once a year or when you have something new to add. When you write the biography, always take a step back and think how a journalist would write this. What elements of your background and business so far would be interesting to the press? If the biography sounds exciting to you, it will sound exciting to the press. If it already bores you, start again. Your biography has to be informative and snappy, emphasizing the most interesting accomplishments. Keep this on file ready to be sent out, but also to remind yourself of your achievements and how far you've come with your business. These are my top 5 steps to develop your own brand. 1. Think of yourself as a product, a commodity, a brand. Every time you see the Yves Saint Laurent logo, you think high fashion, edgy, fashion forward, opulent. You need to find your own look. 2. Be true to yourself and imagine an improved version of you. Think of yourself at your best times and think of how you can develop that brand on an ongoing basis so that you're instantly recognizable. 3. Differentiate yourself from the competition. Depending on your industry and your job, there are countless people out there like you doing the same job in the same industry. By branding yourself and standing out from the competition, you become unique and memorable, and you get an elevated status and recognition from the rest. If all else is equal, if you have a strong personal brand, your product will have a higher brand awareness, will be more desirable, and ultimately, you will beat your competition and reach your goals of success. 4. Be original. You can always be inspired by others, but unless you're original and have something new to say, you won't go very far. And remember, it's just not about the look. You need to be able to tell your own story so that people pay attention and so that they can develop a long-lasting brand. Lady Gaga's choices are not always stylish or elegant, but she's always original and we remember her for that. She has a very strong visual brand identity for herself. 5. Your brand needs to be strong and consistent, from the way you look to the values you represent and the way you speak. You develop a persona that best represents you, and you keep it consistent. The brand identity doesn't mean that everyone will like it, but they will recognize it, and you'll become known for it. Chapter 13. Get on the best dress lists. You really don't need to get on the best dress lists, but how you look really defines your brand. You may ask yourself, How is all this celebrity branding business relevant to you? You're not in showbiz or in any other industry that requires you to look flawless for the paparazzi 24/7, and you don't have the budget for it either. However, if you're a small business, if you're just starting out or in the early years of development, you